1 to 10.
Blog Talk Radio.
A little lower, I guess. All right, let me play like 3 sounds. How about if I do this?
Love you, how I am. My wife.
Scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah, that's all right.
That one's good. So that's better than the other one.
Play the other one. And now play the other one. Now play the other one.
Oh, sorry, I went away from it. Sorry.
Yeah, they're about the same.
Same?
Yeah.
So they're both too loud?
I mean, they're not too loud. It's fine.
Okay.
I called Block Talk and it's good.
All right.
You did the bland?
Yep.
The Bane frame? Keep forgetting.
Just call it a bland. It's
a bland to me.
Yeah.
All right.
Recording in progress.
What a lovely gift. Happy birthday, Durinsky.
Nothing played, Rob.
I didn't hear anything. I didn't even know we started. I was like, what's going on?
Here I am listening to the bland, laughing my ass off. Let's start this over, folks.
Go!
This is your announcer, Shannon Saint Mainframe, welcoming you to our IPA livecast. Darren's birthday was this weekend. I sure hope he likes my gift. That's right. It's a 3 month of access to my OnlyBot page. This month's featured content is my 93 way with Mecha Godzilla and Rosie from the Jetsons.
Oh,
enjoy it, Starinsky, you handsome, handsome man. Our live cast starts now.
I have so many follow-up questions to that. Rosie and Shannon are both anthropomorphically female humanoids, and Godzilla is like 80 feet tall. How do they conjugate the sexual act?
There's definitely like a hardware expansion pack that they need to...
Oh, there's expansion.
I mean, not that I'm against it. I, you know, it's very sexually liberating, but...
Why you gotta subscribe to the OnlyBots?
Seems incongruous. I don't see how that's possible, like physically.
We answer the hard questions here on RIP, a live cast. Well,
no, we don't. We don't have an answer. Yeah, we just threw the question out. I have no answer to that question.
No, the answer is expansion. It's good answer. We're good.
Sure.
It's 2022. It's 2022, right? Yeah, it's 2022.
What is it in the Hebrew calendar, Rob?
I'm still in 2020, to be honest with you. TBH.
It does feel like one long year, doesn't it? Like a two and a half year long year.
Yeah, so
5782.
Yeah,
It just still feels like 5777 to me. I don't know.
Right?
Still writing it on my checks.
I've definitely written 2020 like a few weeks ago.
2020 still, not even 2021.
Yeah, I forget what I was signing. But yeah, 2020, yes, which is now 2 years ago, which is ugh. What's worse is more like the 5-year anniversaries and like the 10-year anniversaries. Those are really brutal. Like 2017 is now 5 years ago. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Like late 2010s is getting old.
Yeah, it's very, very odd. The 90s are forever ago. I don't like it.
Well, not too long from now, we're going to have like a situation where like the last non-COVID year is going to be like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's, you know what I mean? Like,
oh my God.
You're right. Before time.
It already sort of feels like that to me.
It does. This has been a very long... Sometimes I feel like it flew by, and then sometimes I feel like it's been long, like a decade that COVID's been around.
Yeah. That's where I'm at. On a happier note, though, how was your birthday?
Pretty good. Well, I had a gathering that I was going to go to with some friends, and it got canceled because two of them got the cron. I think I told both of you that. But I did stay home just... Played a poker tournament, won a bunch of money.
Nice.
That was
a gift
fun.
To yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I still look more like I earned it. But.
I'll take it. Either way.
But yeah. A lot of nice birthday wishes. A couple of nice gifts. My mother got me a Brooklyn Nets jacket.
Nice.
Which is very sexy. I got to show it to you. I'll show you a picture at some point. But wow. Gorgeous.
Put it on.
A little fashion show.
I don't want to get up.
All right.
I'm comfortable.
Well, if you don't want to get up, you can just pick up your phone as long as it's within reaching distance and give us a call. 213-WIDENUT. That's the number. 213-943-3688. We'd like to chat with you and be like, sup.
So, you know, what's going to happen, another anniversary that's about to happen is the day that 500 megatwats and antlers from Party City decided to piss in Nancy Pelosi's coffee mug, and that apparently was the end of democracy.
I mean, for some of us, we look at it as the day the music died because of John Schaefer.
Oh, poor John. What a patriot.
The day the Ice Earth career came to a screeching halt.
Now, why? I'm just curious because I like to follow all your references, but I might have missed that one. What does that have to do with music?
Fair point.
If you could clarify. We don't have all the answers here. See, I told you, Rob.
That's fair. Yeah, it is crazy that it's been a year since then and how nothing really happened. A few people went to jail. Nothing really changed.
Well, it shows you how much nobody actually believes that that was like a consequential event in any way, other than they're using it like 9/11 to frighten the fuck out of people.
In a way, I do think it was a consequential event in that we learned that you could just do that and get away with it if you're white.
I guess, but I just feel like the takeaway from that is not that storming buildings is bad. It's that these people are morons and like their cause is stupid. I think being angry at the government is fucking great. Like, why would I be upset about that?
So are you going to storm the Capitol on January?
No, I'm comfortable. I don't want to get up.
I have to say,
you
like,
want to ruin his new jacket, Rob. Yeah. Come on.
Same answer as the jacket question, Rob.
I'm very much not looking forward to what I assume is going to be a ridiculous amount of posturing on the 6th about like what we're joking about, how it's like the day democracy died and if our there was a Confederate flag in the Capitol building,
oh my god, the same Confederate flag that the Lincoln Project guy had on his boat, and that's okay because he's called Trump a twat or something. But we don't like it when it's useful. It's a bad thing.
There were some very, very funny images to come out of that evening.
I just think that was one of the funniest days in American history. In a laugh-at kind of way.
It was a laugh-at embarrassment. I do remember being very embarrassed. And it's like, why? What do I, how does this reflect poorly on me? But just as a country, just like us, like what have we developed? Like we're such a joke.
Right.
You know, just this fucking dipshit in his caveman outfit. Like standing in like, the halls of government and just being allowed to say his dumb speech.
Well, it's also the fact that like these Applebee's managers are the only people like that are now, they're the vanguard of opposing the current government because like it's all Democrats. So like that's what I was saying. When Trump was president, you had somebody basically, even though I might not get along with like liberals or whatever, but at least they had a negative posture towards the government. You know what I mean? And now it's just like, no, the government is saintly and you can't, and the only people, this is what we're left with, is the only people that are speaking against the government have totally warped, stupid ideology and stupid reasons for hating the government. So like,
Sid, is our government saintly?
No.
No. I mean, Sid, wise guy.
I'm just making sure.
I'm just happy that I don't have to care as much. That's all. It's nice to not have to care as much. That's all. Like, there's room for other things in life besides freaking out about the government every single day. And It's just I freak out a little bit less now. Hmm. I'll take it.
You're not freaking out about the rise in cases in the COVID? In the COVID?
I mean,
it doesn't go outside.
Nobody's dying. Not as many people are dying. So it's more a nuisance now than like cause for crying in panic. But
that's
drugs,
true. Just,
but
Biden just passed Trump's body count from COVID like in this mid-December. Like in the same, basically, the amount of time Trump was president during COVID basically equals Biden's term now.
And it's equal amounts of dead people, really?
Yeah. It's, well, Trump, when Trump left, I remember the day before he left or something like that, he hit exactly 400,000 on like January 20th. And by it's over 800,000 now.
Huh.
People are dying.
Silly me, though.
Yeah. You don't go outside. I fucking believe
you.
Well,
I will say, the death chart does look very low, at least in New York. Let's see the whole country.
Yeah, and the places where I'm rooting for people to not die, they're not dying. The rest of the places, I'm okay with them dying. It's thinning the herd. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I guess in the country itself, it is up, but still not at the levels it was a year ago. Like a year ago, there were at its high, like about 4,000 deaths a day, which is more in one day of COVID than the people in 9/11. Which is just which at the time was our nation's greatest tragedy, right. Greatest loss of American lives.
Wait, not the John Schaefer thing?
That came after. It was 9/11, then John Schaefer, then wait, no, 9/11, then COVID, then John Schaefer, then now it's COVID again.
Wait, no, wait, 9/11, then John Schaefer, then the Capitol incident, and then
John Schaefer's actual career was part
oh,
of
oh, did you think? I'm sorry, I wasn't clear. I didn't mean him at the Capitol. I meant his musical career. Sorry about that. Sometimes I forget. I get lost in thought, and I don't clarify things.
Rob, did you ever interview John Schaefer? Did you ever like come
no.
in contact with him in person?
Yes. We've talked
well,
about
oh, when
no
you were
interview.
At the Capitol, Rob? Is that when?
No, I was at the Capitol. No, he was on one of those metal cruises.
Oh.
We talked about it. We played Noah's interview. We watched it. And
oh, it that's right. Then she made us turn it off after a while because she didn't like actual.
Yeah.
Was he in the water holding onto a buoy protesting the cruise, or was he actually on the boat?
He was on the boat. He was performing. He was very drunk.
No, I can't believe that. Hard to process.
He doesn't look like a drunk. But yeah, so as I was saying, at its peak last year, 4,000 deaths. Yesterday, there were 1,600 deaths. So
in the country.
In the country, in the whole country.
He's a member of the boat keepers.
Yeah.
So deaths are, they're up from the summer because of the summer, the average was about 400.
And also like most of the deaths now are unvaccinated people, right? Like that's
yeah,
the vast
the
majority.
The high majority. Yeah.
So yeah, that's they've chosen to die. So I'm not crying about that.
I don't know.
They've chosen to be okay with the consequences. So I'm also okay with their consequences. I ain't wasting any
Some time. Of them don't have the ability to do it.
To do what?
Get vaxxed.
Why?
Gotta work.
What does that mean?
They don't have time to go get vaxxed. They don't have 2 days off after to recover.
I don't know about the time thing, but I do know that a lot of them have bad ideas that come from a good place that are I'm not talking about we can all anytime we talk about this. We can exclude hardcore right-wing MAGA dipshits that just like to own libs. I'm not talking about them, but there are a lot of unvaccinated people that have good reason not to trust the government. And even though I disagree and I'm vaccinated, I'm not going to like shit on them and say they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Like I can't tell a black person, you know, that the government that routinely murders and bludgeons your family wants you to go get a jab and you're an idiot if you don't do it. I can't do that. I'm sorry. Like I might disagree with them, but I think they're coming from a reasonable place.
I feel like at this point the facts are out there, and if your mind still hasn't changed, then it's fully on you, and there's nothing mitigating it. Like whatever happens to you, that's what you get.
Okay.
All right.
Bob,
well,
you awake?
I'm torn between both points of view personally. I empathize with both sides.
It's natural selection.
It's just
ultimately, I feel that the blame isn't on these people. The blame is on our government for getting us into this position to begin with. Like, didn't have to get this bad.
Well,
and
the
it's
other
not
thing
just
I,
because the two people didn't get vaccinated.
Yeah, the other thing I go back to on this is that, like, vaccines are one good thing that you have to do to fight a virus. And we're doing one of the, like, six or seven things we need to do and none of the others. And that's why it's really, really bad. And then to turn around and demonize people because they didn't participate in the one thing you did while you, the superpower, neglected the other six or seven things is really irresponsible and shitty, I feel like. And I think if you did those other six and seven things, you know, pay people to stay home, do a real lockdown, not a half-assed bullshit lockdown, mask mandate, cancel debt, cancel rent, all this shit, people would trust the government because they're being cared for, and then you would see higher vaccination rates because they would not be so hesitant to put their arm out for the government.
I don't know. I think dumb people are just going to be dumb. They'll find a reason. If they have to dig a little deeper to find a dumber reason, they'll do it.
I agree with you.
I don't look,
but also in New York is 88% vaccinated, and coronavirus cases are through the roof in New York. So,
but the only people dying from it are the unvaccinated.
Sure, but it's not. Before. But the spread is still happening. I think the
yeah, but if nobody was dying from it because everybody was vaccinated, it wouldn't be as big of a panic right now.
But
it would just be the flu.
It would be a panic because it's still putting a strain on the hospital system. People are.
But they're saying
sick.
Most of the people hospitalized are the unvaccinated.
I agree with one thing that Sid said, which is that if you have a stupid person, they're going to go out of their way to be stupid. I agree with you. What I split apart from you is that I think that's a fringe group. I don't think the majority of people are stupid, and I don't think the majority of unvaccinated people are stupid. I think the majority of them are misinformed. Or they have good principled reasons to reject the information that they have been given, and I understand why. And I think there is a core group of people you're talking about. I just don't think it's as big as you think it is.
That's fair.
All right. Well, you know, another thing you should do to help stop the spread is buy an NFT. Right?
What? Why?
No.
What?
Rob, I'm right-clicking your face right now.
We've talked about non-fungible tokens before.
What? Does this have to do with Mike Francesa? Because then I'm interested. With the fungible
talk. I don't know. I'm not sure if Mike has any NFTs. But we've talked about them.
What's an NFT?
It's essentially a piece of digital artwork that you could purchase. And the appeal is that, you know, it's a one-of-a-kind thing, so you're the only one that owns it. But really what you own is a ledger, like a receipt that says, I own this piece of art. Because as the joke goes, anybody can just right-click and save the image of the NFT that you own, and they own that copy of it. But I guess it's hard for me to give an unbiased explanation because personally I'm not sold on it really. But like I can't imagine doing it because also the prices are insane now. The prices of NFTs are essentially, it could be anywhere from 10 to 30 ETH, which is Ethereum, and a single Ethereum coin is at like $3,800. So 10 ETH is $38,000. 20 ETH is $60,000. It's insane money.
Can I ask a question? Is that like a standard way to say ETH as an abbreviation, ETH, or did you just do that? I've never heard that. I'm not saying you're wrong or something. I just never heard
it. I don't know. That's just how I
ETH.
I hear it in my head.
And it's cool. I'm going to start using that. Yeah. Whenever I talk about ETH.
Talk about the ETH,
often?
Baby.
Do you talk about ETH often?
I mostly read it. I don't think I've ever said. Maybe if I've ever said it, I've said ETH out loud.
That takes too much time. Eat.
Each live cast. Just to get in on that wave.
Yeah, can we make a RIP Alive cast coin?
Probably could.
Rip coin?
Yeah, rip coin. Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
Could we make each of our podcast episodes an NFT? So, like, only one person gets them after they've aired?
Oh.
What about all our... spend, like, $20,000, essentially?
Yeah.
That's what about all our patrons, though?
Well, the Patreon would be separate. This would just be for these episodes.
Oh, okay.
But we would raise the prices on the Patreon 1,000-fold just to keep up.
The Patreon would be one ETH a month.
Sure.
Good luck with that. Rob, why are we talking about NFTs again?
Yeah.
So the reason we're talking about NFTs is everyone is getting in on the NFT game. It is such a cash grab. It is ridiculous. Also, what's wild is how many celebrities have been convinced. I'm not sure if it's like these celebrities have been conned into this, or it's kind of like a pyramid scheme where these NFT makers kind of entice the celebrity to get the NFT, and they essentially buy the NFT for the celebrity in exchange for the celebrity advertising they own the NFT to kind of make the process of buying NFTs normalized so dipshits get in on it. Because like Jimmy Fallon, so the main NFTs are these Bored Apes. You might have seen them on Twitter or on social media. And essentially it's just this one image of an ape that's 1,000 different times. And each one of these images costs tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. And to be clear, there was no physical image. It is a digital image of an ape that costs as much as a house.
So if we wanted to boil this down, a complicated topic, to like one sentence, we would say this is sort of like another form of a cryptocurrency.
Pretty much.
Essentially.
Yeah, it's another take on cryptocurrency, but it feels even more pyramid schemey to me than the basic idea of cryptocurrency in general.
And
I guess it's the big breakthrough with NFTs was NBA Top Shot. Is that what it's called?
Yep.
I feel like that's the first time it went mainstream. And what that was, the NFTs were, at least it seemed cool, like it sold famous moments, right, in basketball history. That's
some of the moments were not at all famous. It's a hodgepodge. There's plenty where it's like random bench player gets a layup.
Yeah,
like they're not all, like, I'm sure the valuable ones are the famous ones, but I think it's like any sports cards where you get like a one in a few hundred chance of getting like an actual valuable card, but mostly it's just filler.
Kiki Vandeweghe coaching the Knicks gets hit by a hot dog from the stands.
Right, that's a great way to, it's basically digital trading cards.
Yeah,
one of a kind trading cards. And the thing
they're not
is,
one of a kind. There's multiples. Multiple people have the same cards.
I see. Well, it depends. It depends on the NFT.
I just spent 14 ETH on Isaiah Thomas getting fired for sexual harassment.
Oh my God! If they had like those kind of moments, holy shit.
Well, but the thing is,
Rod Artest, Dex a fan. Oh, that would be the most valuable of any of them.
Malice at the Palace.
Kobe Bryant rapes a chick.
Oh.
Get the Kobe Bryant rape card. And then you pair that with his death card. I mean, it would be maybe like the court case. Maybe it would be like him testifying or something.
Rob, how much would you pay for a GIF of Kobe Bryant raping?
No, thanks. Not my kink.
You didn't even, you were so mad about that, you didn't even notice that I said GIF.
I let it slide.
I hate GIF. I just did that to annoy you. Didn't work.
Unbelievable. So wait, Sid, you're saying basically with the top card, you basically buy a deck of cards and you don't know what's in there. It could be something great or something not.
Well, like, and I am, it's absurd that I even know this, but like a podcast I follow, they're like, they do like a sideshow about this, and I checked out a few episodes. So it's before I was like, no, I don't care about this at all. But I think Top Shot releases packs like every periodically, and there's like a waiting line, and you like the only like the first few hundred or a few thousand people actually get access to buy the pack.
How much does a pack cost?
I'm not even sure.
But it's like an absorbent amount of money, right?
I don't think it's thousands. I don't think it's that expensive. But, like, you don't know what you're getting. You could get a good card. You could get, like, all shit. But then you can resell. There's a resale market. So you can then, like, if you do get a good card, you could put it up for sale. And that's where people spend big money on Top Shot, I believe.
Yeah. So basically, I listened to a podcast where there was someone who essentially was hoarding these cards and collecting and collecting and collecting and built up enough of a portfolio where he now has a, like, $1 million NFT portfolio just from these Top Shot moments that have accumulated in value. And he's also bought on the resale market and resold and all that stuff.
Where do these things get stored? Like, in the cloud, or like where are they? Are they on
the blockchain?
Okay. So it's not like on the server side of who you buy them from, right?
Well, that's actually a big criticism, is because the whole thing is this is supposed to be decentralized, but with certain NFT projects, they've been hacked or whatever, and it isn't decentralized. So, but it theoretically is supposed to be decentralized.
This whole conversation has gone over my head.
All of which is to say that where there's money to cash in, there's Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne.
Oh, God.
Because Ozzy has launched his own NFT project. And the whole pitch of this NFT project was Ozzy wanted to get a bearded ape, but...
Wait, bearded or bored?
Bored ape, I'm sorry. Ozzy wanted to get a bored ape.
With a beard.
With a beard, maybe. Maybe that variant. But it was too late to hop in. So instead... Now that they're too expensive now. Like
Ozzy can't afford them?
I'll let Ozzy explain.
Jesus.
But essentially, the idea is, let's create our own NFTs and get all of them out. Squeeze money out of our fans.
That's a lot of ETH if Ozzy can't afford it.
Yeah.
So, well, I'll let Sharon explain it, which clearly is her reading a script, because she very likely has no idea what the words she's saying mean. But it's pretty hilarious. And I want to give a trigger warning to our visual viewers, because I barely recognized Sharon initially. No. So here
I'm
we go.
Scared. Some trigger warning from me, too. I haven't seen this. Oh!
Excuse me. Crypto Winter? Could that be explained?
Yes. So obviously I feel like Sharon has no idea what that is, but there's this theory with cryptocurrency trading that cryptocurrency trades on a 6-year cycle. I'm dumbing this down immensely, but essentially cryptocurrency trades on a 6-year cycle, and we're about at the end of the 6-year cycle, and it is imminent that there's going to be a big crash for cryptocurrency, and then which is the crypto winter.
So I have a correct me if I'm wrong here. I'm just looking at her face. It's very unsettling, but I feel I didn't get to the actual opinion part, but she looks simultaneously like 20 years younger and 20 years older.
She looks like that cat lady now. It's like, who are you? I feel like with plastic surgery, I guess it's like the idea isn't at this point to fool anybody. You know, you're not fooling it. It's like, yeah, I got plastic surgery.
I just think if I didn't know what she looked like before, I would have to say she looks younger than I know her to be. But it still looks weird.
For me, the lip injections and the cheek injections is always too much.
I'm not saying it looks good. She achieved the goal of looking younger than she actually is. Whether that's worth it or not, I don't know. I'd rather you grow old gracefully. But.
Yeah, like, is the surgery more expensive or less expensive than a bored ape? Because Ozzy didn't stop her from getting this surgery, but she stopped him from getting a bored ape. Doesn't seem fair.
How many ETH did she shoot into a five?
Oh, my God.
A lot of ETH.
Her face is like 80% lip now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely not pleasant, but it's strangely, I'm not going to say attractive. I'm saying I don't know. I think it's an improvement. I think it's an improvement in her specific case. I don't advocate plastic surgery, but she's looking rough.
But that's because she had other bad plastic surgery. Not
yeah.
because
like
she's old.
Anchor's puppet now.
Ah, she yes, does.
She totally. Does. And that's a step up. She ruined her face before this. No, yeah. I feel like I could be misconstrued. I'm not saying that's because she's old. I'm saying she had already screwed up her face.
Because yes, of the plastic surgery, yeah.
Right. And this is an improvement on the previous plastic surgery.
That's how the surgeons really get you, when they fuck you up so bad that you need to come back to get, like, repairs.
Yeah. So I don't want to be taken as being ageist. Like, I think she would look better than both iterations if she was just natural. 100%. But whatever. Her mouth doesn't move. Oh, no. Poor Ozzy.
Wait. He was becoming a laughingstock with his friends. Which of Ozzy's friends know what fucking bored ape is? Is that Mikey Bibble? Mikey Bibble was bullying Ozzy about crypto? This is fucked up.
He was hanging out with Ringo Starr. And they were talking about bored apes and ETH.
Zach Wilde won't even return his calls anymore. He's just not cool enough.
By the way, Ozzy is draped in bling in these videos. Just massive amounts of gold rings, gold chains.
Well, you know what happened? He was in New York and he went to Times Square, and those guys on 50th Street with the briefcases, they told him those were NFTs. So he just bought like 1,200 ETH of all those chains.
Look at this unflattering pause.
Oh, my God. The freeze frame is... Wow.
She has one eye half open, one eye half closed.
I'm sorry, this is rude, but this is like a fucking like Brazzers cum shot video. It's just when you're done jerking off and you just stop the video in disgust and you go towel off and you come back and it's freeze framed and you don't want to look at porn anymore.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
That's what it feels like. Could I say, here's the theory. Yeah. Is it possible that she keeps getting plastic surgery and changing her face just so Ozzy will never recognize her and try to have sex with her?
I thought you were going to go a different way with that, so that he will have sex with her.
No, she doesn't want
that. She's cheating. He thinks she's cheating on Sharon. She walks in with a different face every week.
Like random women showing up. Like he thinks it's just his manager or like an assistant.
She should just wear an Ozzy mask. Then he'll have this fucking chub on every day. You're beautiful, honey.
Remember when he got in trouble for having an affair with that hairdresser? Imagine if that was just Sharon and he didn't realize, so he apologized to the next face of Sharon. And she was just like, I could actually use this as leverage. I'll let him keep thinking that was someone else. And then it just snowballed from there.
NFT stands for new FaceTime.
She looks like Lisa Rinna's skeleton. And Lisa Rinna herself has insane plastic surgery face. So this is like... It's just wild,
she went to the surgeon and they have the book. And she went, I want Lisa Rinna. I want this one here.
I want post-apocalyptic Lisa Rinna, please.
She looks like the front of Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh boy.
Good. Show Ozzy. Get off of Sharon already. Oh no, that's Ozzy. Sorry. I love that. I just saw an open door. He wasn't locked in, liar.
Oh, wait, this isn't a celebrity rug pull. Yeah. Oh, okay, thanks.
There's no rug in their house. Dog pees on it.
Isn't that the name of the last procedure she got? They gave her the celebrity rug pull?
Yeah. They pull it up a few inches. A rug was hitting the floor.
Oh.
They call that the Sharon. Lisa Rinna went to the doctor and asked for the celebrity rug pull. Picture of Sharon.
full of futility.
Yeah, that's actually more accurate.
Ugh. Crypto. So they're all bats? Is that the gimmick?
Yeah. Instead of bored monkeys, they're bored bats.
Rob, can you find one and right-click it and save it, please?
Yeah.
Rob, you're going to get in trouble.
Done. All right.
Saved.
Oh, no.
Can you send it to me in the chat, please? I want to be rich.
Rob, now, if you get sued, do we all get sued since it was on our podcast that you committed that crime, or is it just you?
I'll stand in solidarity with you.
I mean, it's not – I guess I'd have to sell it for it to be illegal.
Who knows what the fucking laws are with these things?
But it would be the way that Rob steals an NFT and Darren gets arrested for it.
Yeah, it's true. Wait, hold on. Someone's at my door.
It's awesome.
Be right back. I love how they used that fucking sad Hulk song about this fucking, you know. Yes, one day Ozzy realized all the other old musicians were having NFTs. And he couldn't live with himself that he didn't have a bat. An image of a bat.
So some more info. There will be a total of... There will be a total of 9,666 unique NFT bats.
Why not just 666? Why you gotta...
Because they want 3,000 more bats to sell to RuneScape.
9,000 more.
Well, no, yeah. 3,000 more than 6,066.
But you said it's 9,666.
Yeah, and you said why not?
And I said why not 666?
Wait.
That's 9,000 less.
I see. I thought you said 6,666.
No, because that's not the devil number. It's just 666s.
Well, now that we're on the same page, I want to add each crypto bat will give collectors a unique opportunity to birth an additional NFT, activating a feature which will allow their purchase to bite and mutate with another NFT from
like
their
Pokemon.
Digital wallet.
Yes.
So wait. So another NFT from the purchaser's digital wallet.
Yes.
So they'd have to buy two NFTs from Ozzy.
Yes.
Or is this any other NFT you have will be compatible?
No. Okay. No, of course not. And then, so known as, quote, mutant bats with a Z, unquote, the pioneering feature will subsequently allow owners to combine the attributes of two separate projects, making mutant bats a rare offering for NFT collectors. Oh,
I'm
wrong here. So far, CryptoBats has announced they will be able to, quote, bite, unquote, the likes of Bored Ape Yacht Club, Subducks, Crypto Toads, and a fourth mystery name. So yes, you can create a zombie bored ape NFT.
So, does this mean the bored ape people are working with the Ozzy people, or do they not have a say in this? How does that, like, this is all very, it's exponentially more confusing the more details you give.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Boy, pioneering. Lewis and Clark rolling over in their grave right now.
Yeah, and here's the Ozzy quote. I've been trying to get in on the NFT action for a while.
Definitely.
So when I asked Sharon for a bored ape for Christmas,
why do you have to ask
Sharon for anything? You're fucking Ozzy Osbourne. For Christmas, after several failed attempts of buying my own, and she said no. So I decided to create my own.
Wait, why did she say no? She's in this video, she's all gung-ho about NFTs. Why is she in this story?
She said because of the crypto winter.
Oh, I'm sorry. I zoned out about that part.
That was in the video.
Mm-hmm. I was too busy staring at her face. Sorry. I didn't hear everything that came out of it.
Oh, my God. So in addition to the new NFT range, I guess that's what a collection is called, a range, it's also been confirmed that Ozzy is set to launch Ancient Bats, a treasure hunt for crypto bats holders which will see the virtual bats scattered around the globe in hidden locations. Each ancient bat will subsequently be able to bite up to 100 times, unlike their crypto bat's cousin, giving them unrivaled power to breed 100 mutant bats.
This is so tiring. It's just like I'm exhausted listening to all this shit. Like maybe some restraint, like, you know, do two gimmicks. There's like throwing 17 things at the wall here.
They don't
calm
have
down.
Much time left. Might as well try everything.
Yeah, but how much money does this guy fucking need? Collecting royalties.
It's all for his shitty kids.
Yes, but they're already fucking rich trust fund baby. They're like 40 anyway. Don't they make their
are
own
they?
Money?
Yeah, I guess they are that old. Fucking hell.
Yeah, Osborne's was on 20 years ago. They were both like early 20s.
Oof.
Maybe, what's his name? The girl. I forgot her name. What's her name? Kelly?
What's his Kelly. Name, the girl?
Her, no, I said her.
No, you said her.
But what is her name? Kelly, right. So she might have been a teenager. So maybe she's under 40, but not much.
Let's see. She's 37.
Yeah, okay, I'd buy that. What's her face look like?
Jack Osborne is actually younger. He's 36.
Wow.
Oh, I thought he was old. Wow, he looked old when he was a kid then.
Yeah.
I always thought he was the older one. But even still, what are they needing fucking money for?
Child support payments or future plastic surgeries?
I'm sure. I'm just saying I feel like there's ample money for Ozzy to give them to do that.
Yeah.
Already, like, what are you piling it up for? And not to say he shouldn't go make money, like, in some ways, but this just seems like an overreach somehow. You know what I mean?
But, like, let's say nobody buys any of them. Does it actually cost them anything? Do they lose money on this, really?
There's what's called gas fees, processing fees to list these, and it's about, I don't know, like, $200 to list an NFT.
So when I'm saying lose money, I mean like substantial amounts. They're not.
I mean, it's 180. So they have 9,666 times 200. Mm-hmm. That's almost $2 million to list this.
Hmm.
I'm sure they'll make. They barely have to sell any of these fucking things. Maybe 1,000 of them. They'll probably make that back.
Yeah. And who knows what they're selling for? How many ETH? Actually, now that I think about it, I have listened to podcasts where they say ETH.
I believe it.
Dusty Rhodes Muffler in the chat says that Sharon Osbourne looks like Rebecca Moore in 20 years. He adds, Rob's poop gets stored on the blockchain. Metal injection NFTs are just live cast drops. 80% Lip is my favorite Dillinger song.
Yeah, I was going to make that joke, but I feel like I've done it too many times. But thank you for doing it.
Any more? I mean, comparing her to Rebecca Moore is a little cruel. I think she looks like an attractive older woman that went a little overboard with plastic surgery. Sharon's face is also going to worsen as well. So there's that. She's going to do it again.
I think Darren wants to bone Sharon Osbourne. Talk about how hot she is.
Can you replay this show and tell me, count up all the negative things I said about her face? I said she looks like Thomas the Tank Engine.
You're just negging her. This is a tactic.
Yeah.
But really, I don't think Darren, like, wants to fuck her to fuck her. I think he wants to do it so he gets a discount on those NFTs.
Listen, if that's the way to get free NFTs, I would do it. But it doesn't mean I want it. She's on line two from me negging her.
I just assumed you wanted to be, you wanted yourself a little sugar mama.
Not that way. I'd rather she like me for me.
I think she would like you.
But also, should I, if that was my goal, why would I sit here and rag on her face for like a half an hour? That's
it'd be
beyond
nice if
naked.
There was a rag on her face.
Also, you know, in the world of NFTs, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Richard Karn announced he was launching an NFT.
Wait,
the
Home Improvement guy?
Yes, Al from Home Improvement. and so
For a second, I thought you said Richard Kind.
What I was hoping he meant.
No. No. But I guess now he's pulled his NFT because I just see a recommended tweet from Richard Kind. So
that is a celebrity rug pull. This is what she meant. She wanted those Al Tool Time NFTs, and he fucked her over. She's like, never again, Ozzy.
he was looking over the fence at her while she was purchasing the NFT and laughing.
Kicked it right back.
So this was the announcement that he made a few days ago. There it is. Exclusive NFT drop.
That is not in any way a current photo. Come on. He looked like that 25 years ago.
No, well, it's
wasn't that
so I guess,
25 years ago.
So Super Fandom is the next wave of screwing people out of their hard-earned money because it's essentially Cameo meets NFTs in that this person will give you a Cameo message and then it's turned into an NFT, which is like, what value does that have for resale if it's personalized?
But counterpoint, what value does a Cameo have? You just give the money and it's gone. So at least now you get the same thing, but maybe there's some jerk that wants to buy your stupid personalized NFT. It's only gravy.
But it probably costs 10 times as much.
Sure.
So here's the page. And the top package is called I Don't Think So, Tim.
Oh, this poor guy has to fucking sit there and recite.
Reminisce about Home Improvement on a Call with Richard. And it's an NFT with a rare experience and exclusive art.
He's got to be a dancing monkey. Hey, it's like Bart. Say the line, Bart.
The prices are listed. I wish. Oh, you could play Family Feud with Richard. Oh, boy.
Fuck's. Wait, did he hosted Family Feud for like 8 minutes, right? Before Steve Harvey?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. After
Louis Anderson, I guess?
Yeah.
Right?
Wow. Get Richard's prized Paul McCartney guitar. Why would you sell that?
But wait, is he actually selling the guitar or just a picture of it?
Get the original Paul McCartney guitar signed by Paul and owned by Richard along with this NFT to commemorate the handover.
It's a cartoon of an ape playing the guitar.
One of Richard's most prized collectibles and a standout amongst his famed collection. Why would you give that out?
It ain't that
famed. They're going to cancer research. That's nice.
Part of the proceeds. Yeah, not all of it.
Like $100.
Let's see what other
stuff. What is this website?
Yeah, this is like the fucking NFTarena.net.
It's Southeastern Antiquing and Collecting Magazine.
Is there an NFT Babe of the Day in the lower right-hand corner?
No. So Richard, just right as we went live, Richard tweeted this here.
Wow, breaking news.
I've tweeted long and hard about NFTs, and I've decided it's not something I need to do. After being shamed by the internet for 2 days straight. And he posted this photo.
Breaking news. Richard Karn rescinds NFT offer. More on this shocking
pulls
story.
The rug on his ass.
Richard Karn implicated in notorious celebrity rug pull.
Woman with rug pull claims Richard Karn is a rug puller. Film at 11.
RIP this week stands for rug is pulled. Done. Wow, we've learned so much. We've learned so much today already.
That's frankly so little. Just blindsided the shit. That's true. It's a good point. It's like time passing slowly and quickly, as we discovered earlier. Like, it's just, I feel like my head is full of NFT knowledge, and I don't understand one drop of it whatsoever.
Yeah, I it's very hard for me to truly wrap my head around how there could be any sort of significant value for it. And I've seen people tweeting that they've, put their life savings into an ape and that their wife left them and, their kids think they're an idiot.
I think probably there was really some other things going on there before the NFT happened.
Yeah. Certainly.
The only thing I've learned is that Richard Kind is still unsoiled from this whole process. And wait a minute. I'm being told something in my earpiece.
Oh, no.
Richard Kind is a rug puller. Sources say. No, I'm just kidding. I made that up. He's fine. He's a great actor.
He'll get there.
He's one of my favorite things on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like, as far as the bit players go, like the side characters, probably my favorite one.
He had a great episode this season with the dinner party.
With the middler.
Yeah, yes. I really
he can't
that.
Middle.
I think that was that his only episode of the season? I don't think he was on any of the other episodes.
Yeah, right? I think that might have been the only one.
My favorite genre of Curb Your Enthusiasm episodes are the ones when Larry David says the thing that you can't say and he's correct. Like, there's other ones, but that's my favorite kind.
Yes.
Like, he just goes, you expect him to kind of beat around the bush, and he goes, no, look, this is a fact. And the person accepts it. Like, that's why I love that episode, because Richard kind of just like, yeah, you're right. I tried middling, and I can't do it. And you're great at it. Sorry. Thanks.
Yes. That's always, I don't remember if I said this on the show or I said this, but, like, that's what decides if it's a good Curb episode or a bad Curb episode for me. If Larry is actually right in whatever he's doing, then it ends up being a great episode. But if he's wrong, then it kills the whole thing for me.
Yes, I agree with that. That's a good point. And there's some where he is right, like in principle, but he goes too far and does stupid Larry David stuff.
Yes.
I can get behind that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
But
laundering a Klansman's robe.
Yeah.
This season.
That was the best episode of this season.
Yeah,
sure.
The other thing, the other one I point to is the one when he steals. He takes the fork out of the restaurant, gives it to the limo driver. Like, that's purely 100% him trying to do the right thing for somebody. And he just gets totally fucked because of it. I think that's, in a nutshell, the best type of episode right there. Like, he tried to do the right thing. And you can identify with that because we all do the right thing and then we get pissed on.
Yeah.
100%. By Chuck Berry. No. Then you try to kiss the person and they're like, no, get away from me.
You got piss on your face. Bless his heart, Chuck Berry. R.I.P. a Chuck. Also, R.I.P. Betty White. Betty White died this week. Very sad. 99 years old. Not very sad. She lived a full life, you know.
Right.
Hashtag R.I.P. a legend.
Absolutely R.I.P. a legend. What's so crazy is the night before I watched a few episodes of Golden Girls, it felt very eerie.
Oh, really?
Well, to be fair, though, Golden Girls is a regular go-to for me when I don't have anything. I just want to have something on, you know, and I don't want to watch something new.
And also, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's an absolutely timeless show, and most of the jokes, 90%, 95% of the jokes, still hold up, and, like, the concepts still hold up, and the heart the show has absolutely still holds up. It's one of the most flawless, I don't want to say inoffensive, but, like, easy to watch sitcoms.
You have to also have to have known for the past, anytime you watch the Golden Girls for the past 25 years, the next day one of them could have died. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like you.
Yeah.
It's not
well,
like
now all of them are dead.
Yeah, terrible. It's terrible.
But what was I going to say about that? Oh, what's so wild is, so they're supposed to be in their 50s. They're supposed to be like 55.
In the show they are?
Show, yeah.
Well,
Sophia is obviously older, but the three of them are in their 50s.
In real life, that actress was younger than some of them, right?
She was the youngest one. She was the youngest actress.
Oh, wow.
But
I didn't know that.
But
Blanche is supposed to be 53 or 54. Yeah. I looked
but
it up.
She's supposed to be the youngest one though. I don't think Dorothy is supposed to be 55.
Well, she has to, because then how old is Sophia? Cause Sophia's her mom. What, she can't be 90. She has to be in her 70s or whatever.
Yeah. I think Sophia's like pushing 80, the young 80s in the show. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's never explicitly said, but I'm just going by, like, their, you know, the context clues, I guess.
In the show's final season in 92, Dorothy's age is stated as 62. So she was in her 50s when the show started.
I guess.
Like 7 or 8.
How old was B. Arthur then?
She was 70 at the time. Dorothy was regarded to be in her mid-50s in the first season of Golden Girls. So, yeah, so what's so wild about that is now there is, you know, the Sex and the City reboot, mm-hmm. which is absolute, like, the only way
You're
I would
it?
Suggest. I am watching it. I'm absolutely only watching it because of how bad it is. It's truly, and it's like, you know, it's about New York, written by somebody who's never lived in New York, maybe. I don't know, like, some of these choices they make, and I'll explain it in a second. Okay. But what's so crazy about the show is all the women in the show, in this new Sex and the City reboot, since it's 20 years later, they were in their 30s in the original iteration of the show, most of it still holds up. This new one does not hold up. So now they're in their 50s. They're supposed to be the same age as the women in the Golden Girls when that show started, and like those women look like these women, like mothers, you know,
but they're
supposed to be the same age. It's such a mind fuck. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the new Sex and the City series, I very much like the original series. It was a fun watch. And the thing I liked about it a lot more so than some of the cat, like I hated Carrie. Carrie was my least favorite character.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved New York, you know, like I love how they portrayed.
Were you a bigger in Aiden? Go on record now.
I was a big, I would say.
Fuck yeah. Fuck out of here. Aiden all the way. Go on.
But then you'll love this series because Big dies.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert.
So,
yeah. And then his career died like a week later.
Well, so, okay. So two things I want to mention about this. There is a character in the show who, you know, this season is all about representation. And diversity. Like there's people of color. Like each of them has a friend who's a person of color. it's very forced. And then there's like gender non-binary, there's trans, there's questioning, you know, like all this stuff. And most importantly, representation, there is a pothead on the show. But
but
what's so wild is
potheads finally breaking into mainstream culture.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great to see.
Well, it is in the sense that, like, it's not this person's defining characteristic. It's not like they're not a Cheech and Chong stoner. They're a character that happens to just smoke pot. That's their vice. But it seems like the writers on the show, none of them actually smoke pot. So here's the scenario. Carrie's new job, Carrie is the lead character, Sarah Jessica Parker, who was a sex advice columnist in the 90s and early 00s. And now since it's a modern version, it's modernized. So now she's a co-host on a podcast.
Oh.
And because it's Sex and the City, it's not just like recorded in a basement. This podcast is recorded at Sirius XM.
Hmm.
Okay. So it's the first day of her podcast. The show's just ending. It's her and her boss, who is also the host of the podcast. She's like a third mic on the show. And they're talking and they get into the elevator in this corporate building and this character lights up a pipe in an elevator. Who the fuck? I've never in my life. I've smoked in many, many places. Many places. But I
never smoked weed in the Sirius elevator, Rob.
Absolutely. Are you kidding me?
Secondhand?
That's so rude. What's the ventilation there?
Well, let me ask. If Howard Stern did that, though, they'd probably be okay with it.
I guess, but this
so maybe
is
Carrie Bradshaw's just
not
on par.
But Carrie wasn't the one smoking.
So who was the
other character?
Wait a second. So in this show,
yes,
was this action a plot point? As if how could you do that? Or was
no, that's the other thing. Nobody points out like, hey, it's pretty crazy you're smoking in a fucking elevator. It was more that like, oh, this person just smokes weed is wild. Not that they're in a fucking elevator. Like, nothing has taken me out of a show more than like, what? Why did they make this? This scene could happen anywhere. This scene could have happened outside of the building,
yeah.
And she could be smoking. Well, like, why does it need to be in the elevator?
Because the first thing I thought of was Larry David's in the elevator, and he's like, "How do you?" And then the next scene, he's with Jeff Garlin at the country club, and they're like, "You know, how do you light up a joint in an elevator? And there's a person standing right next to you. I'm not against weed. I'm not an anti-pot guy. It's just you don't do that. It's just a common courtesy. Total common courtesy."
And then maybe he like has a friend who's like having chemo and smokes weed from that. And so he tells the friend that it's okay now to smoke weed in elevators. So the friend does it and then gets arrested, and Larry is the asshole for. That's the episode. There you
right. That's absolutely the episode.
And like then Larry Lewis, I guess.
And Larry's going on Carrie's podcast to talk about it, and then he brings up, you know, there was a guy smoking in the elevator. You think you could talk to somebody about that? Is he smoking weed? I just, and this is on the show, and she just looks at him like he's an idiot.
So also, of course, because this is Sex in the City, it can't just be like any pipe. It's like this futuristic-looking fucking pipe. That doesn't look like a pipe. And I just looked it up. And the pipe that she's smoking from
is an NFT.
It's not an NFT, but the pipe costs $100. Get the fuck out of here.
Is that a lot?
For a pipe? Right? Yeah, pipes are like $20. No, like a travel pipe? No, a bong can cost upwards of $100.
I thought she was carrying a volcano vape into the, into the elevator.
She might as well have been. Jesus fucking Christ. So the other thing I wanted to mention is Big dies in the show. Mm-hmm. And
I can't watch it now.
It's fine. It happens right away. It's essentially what kicks off.
No, I just mean I can't watch Sex and the City without Big in it. I can't take it. Who is that? Is that Chris Noth?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a story about him, but you can go ahead.
Well, just really
did he harass you also?
Kind of, not sexually.
Oh. Well, so the story, essentially, he's on a Peloton, and he's, like, going hard. And then as he gets off the Peloton, he gets a heart attack. And he kind of dies. And he doesn't die. He has a heart attack. Then Carrie comes home, sees him, and he's alive, and she screams out his name, his real name. And she's like, John! And then she just runs him, and he's still alive at this point. And she never calls 911. She's just sitting there yelling his name like, no, Joe, no. It's like, bitch, do something. This is your fucking husband. And then he just dies. It was like the way they shot it. They made so many weird – this series, like we kind of talked about this during our Matrix roundtable, which I will talk about in a moment. But this series is like another example of the WB algorithm just spitting out a show. Like we need more content, but let's not really give too much thought into it because this is something that like people actually cared about. Like it's so terrible, but it's so terrible. I will say it's so terrible that it's actually fun to watch. It's fun to watch and like, laugh at like what are you doing, like this is so stupid.
I think I might now watch this and just reimagine all of them as Curb Your Enthusiasm episodes.
Yeah, well, the other thing about it that like really stands out to me is the language that they use is almost as if it was written by Jesse Waters about like, but like they mean it not ironically, like, you know, yes, I am a gender nonconforming, like, right. Well, and like like the whole like one of Miranda goes back to school and her whole first moment is she misgenders somebody and she says something pseudo racist to the black professor and it's just like
how does that get resolved? Like does she apologize?
She recognizes, she checks her privilege and she acknowledges it.
She puts on Nancy Pelosi's dashiki.
And then she eventually, what's it called? Like, befriends the black professor, and they commiserate over having children.
Oh, okay, sounds very exciting.
Yeah, the other weird thing is all their kids are grown, which is just again just a mind fuck.
But Carrie doesn't have kids, right?
No.
We're supposed to care about the other people's kids.
Yeah, they become major. They're major plot points in the show.
Get out of here.
And of course, Samantha, the best character on the show, the actress, wisely decided not to be a part of this. And I have so much respect for doing that because she ain't missing anything other than a paycheck, obviously.
Wait, she's not, didn't you just say the guy dies and then she's like, she's called.
No, Samantha, she's not in the show. Carrie's in the show. Samantha's not in the show, but the character is still written into the series. And
they talk about her and stuff?
Yes. And
like in case she wants to come back for season 2.
Right. Which, I mean, please come back and save the show. You were the only watchable character. Everyone else was insufferable.
Well, what's her name going to run for governor again, or is she back to acting now?
I don't think.
Yeah, I haven't heard a political thing from her in a
while. Oh, no. She tweets some progressive stuff. Though.
But that's, I mean, not just tweets. I mean, like, as...
Oh, yeah. She's not really doing shit.
She's not running for an office again.
But, yeah.
Do you want to hear my Chris Notes story?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I was working in a store at this time, and he wandered in drunk as a motherfucking skunk.
Sounds right.
And drew off it, like, at least in the top 10 of most drunk people I've witnessed in person in my life. Stumbling, knocking things over, and like a guy walked past him, didn't even touch him, and he yelled at him like, "What the fuck you bumping into me for?" You know, that kind of shit. Like, and I think he was with another actor. It was on Law and Order or something. I think he was with a Law and Order guy, a guy from Law and Order.
Jerry Orbach.
It wasn't Jerry. I think Jerry Orbach.
How were his eyes?
His eyes were already in someone else's head by this point. But, he was with someone who was also, like, micro, was somewhat famous. And the guy, I don't remember who it was, and he was cringing, you know.
Oh,
maybe they just came from the set. Who the fuck knows? But I had to tell someone, because he was, like, we're in the part where I worked and knocking things over. So I got on the phone, and I was like, can you come down here? The person who's, like, my superior, you know. And they were like, what is it? And I said, Chris North is here. And he's knocking things over. I don't know. You know what
Peter's
I mean?
Brother.
Like, and he got pissed at me. He was like, what the fuck, Chris North? Chris North? Like, he started screaming at me because he heard me. I said, well, I'm sorry.
Oh, the actual Chris North.
Yeah. No, I was talking about someone else, not you. The other drunk guy whose name is one letter different from you. No, I told the guy, I'm sorry, like, you know, you made me nervous because you're knocking things over. Like, you got to calm down. And he got all, I think he left before, he just fucking left before the person came down.
Yikes.
Christ.
Well, that lines up with a lot of stories that came out about him being very aggressive with women.
Or just being on set shit-faced.
I didn't know
there's a lot of those stories, too.
Yeah, he's been hashtag canceled.
I didn't know this. That makes sense now that I remember that story.
Partially by one of Rob's old high school buddies.
Yeah, somebody I went to high school with was one of the people who spoke out publicly.
So was that, I don't want to reveal them, but was that like someone in the industry or just?
Yeah, she's like a famous actress now, a relatively famous actress.
Okay.
More famous than me.
Are you not allowed to say who she is? Do you not want to say who she is?
I kind of don't want to say it.
I mean, I don't think she's famous enough that, like, most of our listeners would even be like, oh, that lady.
She revealed
herself.
She
was on a CBS sitcom.
Oh, is it Kat Dennings?
Like one of the successful.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
If only you wish she was molested by Chris
I just wish that Rob would have known her. That's a few degrees of separation there.
I wish I would have known her, too. Hanging with Andrew W.K.
Oh, that's right. Well, I guess we sort of know Andrew W.K., so you sort of know
Kat
Dennings.
Oh, is she? Are they in a relationship? I don't even
know. Yeah, they just got married last year.
I had no idea. Flew right over my
head. You should read Metal Injection. And stop
reading. What do you read? Every single fucking article you write?
He only reads the articles about actual metal, Rob, not this clickbait bullshit.
Yeah. I want you to do the more articles about Embalula Google. Those will go over well. That's why you're not doing well, Rob. Don't write about the obscure bands that I like. Write about Kat Dennings and John Schaefer.
And then you didn't even bother posting her nudes. Like, why would anybody click?
Yeah. Post Kat of
the
day.
The nudes. Yeah. That's an NFT right there. Some Kat Dennings nudes.
Nice fucking titties.
Get on that, Rob. That could be your next fortune. Your next 4chan.
I respect women.
Next 4chan. That's a good one.
So I'm just trying to help, Rob. That's all this is.
So I mentioned the Matrix Roundtable. the way you can listen to that is on our Patreon, patreon.com/RIPLivecast. And for $5 a month, you get access to 2 bonus episodes every month, 2 episodes only available on the Patreon. And we always have a really fun time with those episodes, in addition to video versions of our episodes for the last 2 years. And a fun little TV column, Sid, and some kisses on the show. I guess everyone gets those. But yeah, so $5 a month. So this month, top of the month episode, we, as my background suggests, we did a roundtable of the new Matrix movie, The Matrix Resurrections.
Very fun.
And in doing so, we also talked about the first 3 movies, which I think we had a pretty in-depth discussion about the first 3 and then really went in depth on Resurrection.
Well, it was a lot
and
of depth.
Had the hot takes.
A lot of depth to get into.
Yeah.
Very, very deep. I mean, deep, low down in quality, not deep like in thought. Process.
Rob loved it.
No, I wouldn't say Rob loved it. He liked
it.
He liked it, and we didn't like it, and he liked it, but I wouldn't say he loved it.
Yeah, I didn't love it.
He expressed a lot of reservations about it.
What's your movie
and also,
of the year, Rob?
My movie of last year? I don't even. It's very hard for me to like do that. I don't know.
It might be The Matrix, just because that's the only one you remember seeing. So
that's a fair point. That is a fair point. I really like the Judas and the Black Messiah. Or though that was the year before. Wow.
Yeah, I think that was.
Yeah, because that was Oscar for the cycle. Academy Awards. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Any horror movies this year that I like? Yeah, I don't know. Because more watching series than movies this year. I guess it absolutely wasn't in the theater. You know what it was? It was Wonder Woman.
What? Didn't people really hate that movie?
No, that movie was terrible. Also, I think that was actually last December. So that doesn't count even. I don't know. Hard to say, folks. Hard to say.
Did you see any of the Spider-Mans?
Oh, no. I mean, I didn't see the new one. I do want to see it, though. But I liked the animated one. I thought that was really good. But that, I think, also was 2020.
Was that 2020 or 2019?
Oh, yeah.
I think that was pre-pandemic.
Pre-pandemic.
Wait, which one?
The animated.
Oh, yeah, that was 2020.
So, yeah, so The Matrix Resurrections, it's up now on our Patreon. Check that out. And then in a few days, by the 15th, we're going to be putting up our watch-along of the Fred Durst-directed John Travolta vehicle, The Fanatic, which...
Oh, boy.
Just the right kind of shitty movie for us to shit all over and have a really fun time shitting all over it.
One of the best watch-alongs we've done, easily.
So
Rob's
really
second favorite movie of the year.
patreon.com/RIPLivecast. Hang out with us. It's nice. We like. Why not?
Do we want to talk about this weird wrestling date story?
Yeah, let's talk about it. This is so cringe. Somebody posted on the wrestling subreddit.
Okay.
So do you have it pulled up? I want you to read it.
Hold on. Let me find
it. So he posted on
why do you want me to read it, by the way? What are you trying to imply?
I'm not implying anything. But he posted this on Reddit, and it's a first date with a girl. So the headline is how to plan a first WWE date with the girl. Which pay-per-views should I show her?
Now here's the question. Does that mean it's the first date or just the first date where he makes her watch wrestling?
No, both.
Okay. So you want me to read this?
Yes.
All right. No. There's a girl I've been talking to from work, and tonight I invited her to my place for New Year's Eve, and I decorated my entire apartment with a WWE wrestling theme. This is the first time I've ever had a girl over, so I'm extremely excited, but I'm overwhelmed on how to do this. So far, I have popped.
Well, let's pause. Like, just with that one paragraph, he is expressing how incredibly not self-aware he is.
Oh,
because
yeah.
look, I am as big a wrestling fan as there could be. I guess there could be bigger. I'm a pretty big wrestling fan. But I would never divulge this information to somebody I've just met and I'm trying to impress. You know, like, this is at least 3 months into the friendship that I would even broach the topic. Go ahead, Sid.
So far, I have pop, cookies, chips, a WWE-themed cake from Kroger's, and WWE cupcakes. I also ordered two personal pan pizzas for us to munch on a budget. I am a huge wrestling fan. I haven't really expressed my interest in it to her, but I feel like wrestling shows would allow her to see my cool, knowledgeable side. I was going to turn on Royal Rumble 2010 and briefly go over how 2010 impacted the current landscape of WWE.
Oh, my God.
Then I was going to show her some YouTube clips of some WrestleMania promos, followed by the respective matches, so she wouldn't have to watch the entire thing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I want a quick pause here. So just a Royal Rumble match is an hour. So he's saying not only is he taking up an hour, making her watch wrestling for an hour, he is then going to make her watch more wrestling after that. But he's nice. He's going to make her watch the promos and then just the good matches. He's going to skip the shitty WrestleMania matches. Okay, go ahead.
There's already a shape of a cloud in the shape of this girl running out of the door. She's like already in an Uber and like
the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah, she's gone. She ran right through the wall.
I want to explain wrestling to her and give her proper backstories, but I am overwhelmed and I don't know where to begin. Would AEW be better for her since they are relatively new? If so, then I don't want her to get confused with the WWE-themed cake and AEW wrestling.
Already he's showing that he thinks this girl's an idiot. Because she can't understand that there are different wrestling companies.
To me, he's showing that he's the fucking idiot.
Yeah.
He's completely overthinking this.
By extension.
Yes.
Socially awkward. He's probably like...
he's not an idiot. You're right.
He's a wrestling savant. He just knows everything about that ever happened in wrestling. And he wants to share it with this woman who's absolutely not interested in it in any way.
Yeah, that's like the thing. Like, have they been talking about wrestling at work and she's expressed interest in learning more? Or is this just him thinking, yeah, our first date will be all about me and my most, like, up my own ass interest? So she'll just come over and I'll just mansplain something to her that she does not care about for multiple hours on New Year's Eve.
How about asking this girl what she likes?
Yeah, right? Anything. Or like, he didn't buy any booze. Like, how old is this guy?
Sounds
no
60.
Booze on New Year's Eve. I've got cupcakes, I've got a WWE cake, and some pop.
So, by the way, how much does the guy weigh? Because he's got cupcakes and cake.
Yeah, no way the cake was still there by the time the girl arrived, right?
Any proteins, buddy?
Just you two wait.
Do you want me to read the follow-up now?
I wanted to ask if there were any replies. Like, did the people tell him what we're saying, or were they like on board because they're also wrestling?
I believe the original thread has been deleted. But when I saw it, everyone is being very supportive and like being very gentle.
Supportive in the sense that they're saying what we're saying, but politely, or like actually encouraging this?
No. Some were encouraging. Oh, actually, the thread is still up.
Oh, good. Let's see. Let's Sid read what I didn't want to interrupt you. I just was curious about that. You want to finish up?
Sid, actually, let me link you to the thread because there's more edits.
Oh, my God.
You to get the correct.
We want to represent his views accurately here on this program in a journalistic fashion.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
I gotta look at this myself.
So one of the comments, if this is a joke, it's the funniest thing I've seen on here. If this is serious, you should probably just stop all social interaction for a while. And then someone replied, if this is serious, I want this date live streamed.
Oh my God. Like when people live stream their suicide attempts.
Okay.
So do you want me to?
Yes, yes. Let's read the edits.
Edit. Thank you for all the kind suggestions. I'm still setting everything up, but I'm going to reply to everyone in here. Thank you for all the awards as well. I appreciate all of you. Happy New Year. What awards? You can give awards to people on Reddit?
I guess on Reddit, yeah.
You can actually pay money, and if you like their comment or something, and a little emoji appears next to their post, and that's all
wow.
it is. And Reddit gets money off of this.
I believe okay. that's something. You could also just get these credits for rewards if you use Reddit as well. Like
but that's not what – you can, but that's for something else. That's Reddit gold. This is like just a little emoji that shows up.
Okay. So go ahead, Sid.
All right. Hold on. My window here, sorry. All right, important edit. It was a case of bad communication because the girl I invited, Chelsea, thought I was having a big party, and she came over and didn't know I considered it a date.
Pause. This is just like we're witnessing the birth of an incel here. This guy's going to shoot up a school one day. Like,
yeah.
He clearly was so socially awkward with her. He didn't really like want to tell her that he wants this to be a date because he didn't want her not to come. So she thought it was a party. And obviously she didn't want to show up alone to a party at this like nice but awkward coworker of hers place. So she brought some friends. And now it gets even weirder.
This has to be a put on.
Like, she brought her three friends, and it was awkward because I don't have much furniture in my apartment. Just one couch, a mounted TV, and a glass coffee table. So her two friends sat on the floor while she and I sat on the couch watching WWE.
This is just like Nelson Torres, the guy we've talked about on this show. On his TV show, he had, like, a semi-famous person, Joel Gertner, who showed up, and he had him sit on the floor. They were out of space on the couch for Nelson's stupid friends. So they had Joel Gertner sit on the fucking floor, and he did it.
I assure you, as someone who has worked with Joel Gertner, that is all he deserves. That's
fine. I agree, but just the cringe to make your fucking guest who's famous than every other douchebag that you have sitting on the couch, even though that's not much, is sitting on the floor is so hilarious to me.
Have I ever told my Joel Gertner story on the show? I can't remember.
I think you told it on our... I think you might have told it on our college show.
I didn't know it.
No, it was after. Yeah.
Oh, so he was at the Brooklyn College radio station, but it was after I had left.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Go ahead.
He, for a little while, worked at my office. Like, somehow, I guess through a Brooklyn College connection or whatever, he got
a gig
there.
Before you tell the story, let's finish this. Let's get off this.
Right. I felt like I was being rude, so I offered my seat on the couch to one of her friends, which were declined. I wasn't expecting to explain professional wrestling to three girls, so I turned on the 2010 Royal Rumble and accidentally made them miss the ball drop because I was trying to explain different backstories.
That's the sentence that like
this
totally
is like a hostage
stabbed
situation.
Me. This stabbed me in the heart, that sentence. These women came all over for a New Year's Eve party. They didn't even watch the fucking ball drop because he was too busy talking about, like, mansplaining wrestling to them. I'm so secondhand embarrassed.
Can I also chime in something? As someone born on January 1st, I feel that I am an ambassador and for all things ball-related, New Year's Eve party-related, ushering in the New Year-related. And I can say... missing the ball drop, not a big deal. It's
not
the same shit. Every
but it's what they wanted. He's trying to like be nice to this girl. It's the one thing she wanted to do. Just do that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh no, that was by no means a defense. I'm just saying to those girls, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are, don't worry about it. You shouldn't have been in the first place. Don't worry about missing the ball. They must have very bad social radar. To have, well, I guess not. The two girls were brought along, the one that agreed to show. Oh, did they stick around? I thought they left and he was playing video games.
But they clearly stuck around to midnight.
Yeah. Well, maybe they came at 11:30.
No.
You know. So go ahead, Sid.
They didn't eat any of the snacks, cake, or pizza either. So now I'm just playing the Ghost of Tsushima. Is that a video game or what is that?
Sounds like it. Maybe he's cosplaying as the Ghost of Tsushima. I don't know what that is.
I never had so many girls in my apartment at once, LOL. They wanted to see the ball drop on NBC, but I got distracted by explaining to them why Sean was was trying to win so bad. Like, they weren't interested, and it honestly drove my anxiety high, so I just stopped talking and let them rumble, let the rumble play, and they left after Batista eliminated Sean. Before they left, I went into my bathroom and just sat because I was so nervous. I didn't know what to say, so I just told them thanks for coming.
Through the bathroom door, he did that?
It's
so
like Noah
wild.
That time she drank too much when we did a podcast episode at her place.
What's so wild to me is that he recognized it wasn't working, that it was awkward, that they weren't into it, but he didn't think to turn off the fucking wrestling. He instead was like, I'm just going to go sit in the bathroom and make them suffer through this without me here.
But they could have changed the channel at that point, like, unless he took the remote with him to the bathroom.
I don't know. I think that's like rude. That's way too forceful for a guest to change the channel. They don't know how the television works. Plus, they're girls. Girls don't know how to use remotes.
I want to give advice to anyone who's listening who might be in this young man's shoes. And I feel this is sage advice, and I think both of you will agree with this. Wrestling is great. I love wrestling when it's done correctly. WWE sucks, but that's besides the point. If you are a grown man who likes wrestling, you have to process this one fact, and that is wrestling to the majority of the population of the planet Earth is cringe, and even more so to women. And if you are going to be in a relationship with someone, you can't push wrestling on them. They may, because they're a good human being that loves you and cares about you, take an interest in something you like, and they may over time start to like wrestling, and that's great. Or you may be one of those lucky people like I was to have a long-term relationship with someone who brought a love of wrestling to the relationship and never had to be coerced. That's great, but that's like a unicorn. Most people think it's lame. And you got to deal with that. Just accept it.
Yeah. At most, slowly ease them into it. Not put on a fucking 1 hour match during your first private encounter with them. No, that's not how you do it. You had maybe start off with a meme or a short clip of an ironic character. That's it.
Now, I want to ask a question, and I want to get to the Joel Gertner story, and we are running a little over.
Yes,
but
yes.
Just want to – can we just read a couple of these comments because they're very
funny.
Go for
it.
Oh, me? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Here's the first of all, they asked – this is kind of an inside wrestling joke. He asked originally in this post, what should I play? And the person said December to Dismember, which is like universally known as the shittiest pay-per-view in human history. I like that one. We said that one about ceasing all interaction, right?
Yep.
This is just what I said. Always be yourself unless you're a wrestling fan. Then don't be yourself until 6 months in. And this guy says, no lie, I waited 4 months to show my now wife that I watch wrestling. I was not going to risk it.
Smart man.
Yeah. And then this guy says, this is either new copy pasta or this girl's about to have the worst New Year's of her life.
I can't believe they stayed for the ball drop.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, they probably came at 11:57.
I want to hear this woman's POV on this. I'm dying to hear that.
Oh, you know there's a post in like 2X Chrome.
Am I the asshole? Yeah. Am I the asshole?
No, she's not wondering if she's the asshole. She knows she's not the asshole.
Right. But should I have run screaming initially?
Yeah. And what were her friends like? They were just cool sitting on the floor. Were they saying, let's get the fuck out of here. What are we doing? And she like convinced them to stick around. Like there's so many more questions. I wish there was like a movie of this.
I wonder if these are like 15 to 17 year old people, all of them. And they just don't know how to
manage. Well, no, he said coworker though, right?
And he said his apartment that only has one couch.
Well,
like,
maybe
if he lived with his family, I feel like there'd be more furniture.
Well, maybe he's like 25 and they're like 17. That could be even worse.
Mm-hmm.
But the description of the women sounds like they don't know how to manage uncomfortable social interactions and when to cut it off. Because I feel like a confident like 25 to 30 year old woman would just have walked out as soon as they saw what was going on there.
I also possible that maybe this person is like mentally challenged and the girl just felt bad.
Or maybe
so
not mentally challenged, but maybe like neuroatypical. Yeah. And it doesn't handle the, and then that's not to demean those people, but maybe they're not realizing what the situation is,
yeah,
and the awkwardness.
And she was just being nice to her coworker who means well.
That's true too.
Why she stuck around. Hmm. That would make all of this make a lot more sense.
Yeah, that's fair. So hopefully we all learn something here.
Neurodivergent, that's the word I was fishing for there. Sorry.
Dusty Rose Muffler writes, Rob would make his date watch old Barry Horowitz tapes. True.
No, you would make them watch New Japan, I think.
Well, if I were to show anyone wrestling, if I wanted to get somebody into wrestling, I would show them AEW. Because I feel that's the... Although, you know, on the one hand, it's like the most exciting. But one thing I've noticed when trying to show people who don't follow wrestling AEW is it's a little hard to follow because there's so much happening. It's hard to be like, who's that guy? What's that? I'm like, all right, just relax, just watch.
One thing to also note about AEW, not to get too far afield from this discussion, but a lot of what they do is built on knowing about wrestling, and that doesn't make it bad. It's just a choice, but it's geared towards people who are steeped in wrestling knowledge. And I think it's somewhat a little bit inaccessible, although there are elements of it that are accessible anyway. I think the meatiest parts of it are about knowing who these people are and things they're calling back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. And that's why I like it. But it's also why it might be a little harder to get into. But the wrestling is still more fun.
Sure.
I think you can still get into it without knowing that stuff.
You can. And I think there are that they have hooks, and then you get into it, and then you start Googling things. And they have hook. He's awesome. But it's, I mean, you're saying it's more fun, of course, because look what it's competing with, like microwave turds.
I was actually watching some New Japan before we started their big annual Wrestle Kingdom event.
I got to watch that tonight. They're on tonight's the second night, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is it three nights this year?
The third night is interpromotional event next week with Noah, but it seems like it's not really a big deal.
It's a wrestling promotion called Noah.
Oh.
Which is like the
pro wrestling Noah with an H.
It's like what All Japan used to be, right? And it kind of morphed into Noah.
No, not necessarily. It's the top stars from All Japan left and started a new promotion, is what it is.
Yeah, like the roots of from All Japan.
Mm-hmm.
No vaccine mandates at that promotion.
There are vaccine mandates. It's in Japan, so.
That was another
I don't
joke.
Know vaccine mandates.
Rob, go with it.
Oh, I see. I get it now.
John Schaefer is the GM.
he writes
Noah.
All the entrance music.
So,
Jimmy Hart.
I also want to mention we have a music break, the RIP Livecast music break, instead of playing songs during the podcast where we might get a copyright strike, and we don't want that. We've instead created a very nice Spotify playlist with nearly 300 songs, almost there, over 20 hours of music. And every week we each pick a song and we talk about it. And so this week I picked Rage Against the Machine with Tire Me. Over the holiday break, I was doing a bit of road tripping. And anytime I'm on a long ride, I've been really enjoying some classic albums that I've enjoyed in my youth. I feel it's a really good way to kill like 40, 50 minutes of a long trip. And so I put on old Rage Against the Machine and I realized how much I love certain deep cuts from their first two albums. I only really listened to the first two albums. And Tire Me is one of my favorite songs from them. It's very catchy. Sid, what did you pick?
Earlier this week in the Discord, our lovely Discord, our fan Jude asked me if I'd take a request to put a specific Lagwagon song on the playlist. And while I am not completely against taking requests, I am completely against taking requests for bands I don't like because I feel that's just dishonest and misrepresentative. If it's my pick, it's going to be a band I actually like. So sorry, Jude, I will not be adding that Lagwagon song, but the lead singer of Lagwagon, Joey Cape, had a side project band for a while called Bad Astronaut, which was less pop punk and more like sort of alt rock kind of sounding. And on their first album, they did a cover of the song Needle in the Hay by Elliott Smith. And it's a very good cover. which maybe not better than the original, but as good and like sort of changes. It makes it a little bit more hard rock sounding. And so that's what I picked. So you don't get Lagwagon, but you get that lead singer doing something else. So
Sid, you are such a Lagwagon. Remember like 15 years ago when Jackwagon became like a redneck person's insult? I feel like a lot of boomer comedians would sing Jackwagon all the time. Like in the Jeff Foxworthy and Larry Cable Guy kind of. I don't know if them specifically, but that kind of like tier of comedian.
It's one of my favorite porn series. Jackwagon.
That's the Amish porn. They kick you out of the wagon after they're done.
It's just people fucking horses. You jack off a horse, and then they get ride the wagon. I don't know.
Louis C.K. did an offshoot on that, like, but he was jerking off in front of horses.
He definitely did some offshoots. imagine if you released a new special and it was billed as like a stand-up special, and then you hit play and it's just him jerking off.
Yeah. First, it's like remember the New Day thing? It's like an interactive porn. You go, he starts taking his pants down and then it pauses. And then it goes, do you want Louis C.K. to jerk off in front of you? And then yes or no. And no matter what you pick, he jerks off anyway. There's no two scenes. It's just the same scene.
It's the illusion of choice.
Mm-hmm. Like
this proves free will does not exist.
Darren, what song did you pick?
Oh, I played Children of the Grave, the cover of the Black Sabbath song by White Zombie. Because we were going to talk about Ozzy Osbourne today, and I thought it was apropos. I have my whole theme here. I got my Mikey Bibble background. And that's a really great cover. And that's a great album. It's from 1994. It's the cover of all
Black Sabbath. Yeah, it's a great Black Sabbath covers album.
And it's got so many good bands on it. It's got Megadeth, Biohazard, and
Typo.
Typo Negative, Faith No
Sepultura.
More. Sepultura. I forgot. Corrosion of Conformity is on it.
Ooh.
What is the Ministry guy side project that I can't think of right now? He had one.
Yeah, I can't think of it.
1,000 Homo DJs.
Mm.
That's right.
But
I believe the compilation is called Nativity in Black.
Mm.
Yeah. Fantastic album.
Excellent.
More that I can't, that I'm not even like.
Yeah. And you know, like we always kind of shit on covers that, you know, they have to either be a fun reinterpretation or like their own take. And basically all of these are that.
Yes.
They're all such a fun spin on songs that you're super familiar with.
And in the Megadeth one, they covered Paranoid. And it's just, you know, every band covers Paranoid. And it's like, wah, wah. But they made it sound like a completely Megadeth-owned Megadeth.
Yeah, they absolutely made it sound like a Megadeth song. It was really fun. And you hear David Singer, sitting with my
loved one, because he couldn't help me with my mind.
It's so great. Before we go, though, Sid, let's hear this Joel Gertner story.
Yeah, I'll tell it very quick because we're already running late. But basically, he worked in my office, and he put on very, very strong cologne and a lot of it to the point that he had to be told by superiors to stop, to tone it down, because it was just knocking people out, the smell of it in the office. And there were times, because he knew I was a fan, because the first week he was at the office, I was like, holy shit. Joel Gertner is here. And then we were in the men's room at one point washing our hands. And I just want to say, I'm a big fan of your work. The ACW, you're great. So he knew that I was like, I guess a friendly
big
face
mistake,
in this
dude.
Office. Yes. Because then he would come to my cubicle to apply his cologne so as to not get scolded for it. Because he knew I wouldn't rat him out and he needed to have that cologne. It was so fucking weird.
That's so weird. That is so weird.
Wow.
So that's this, and this was like, I don't know, 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more than 10 years ago, but yeah.
Man, what's he doing now?
I have no idea.
Probably just working in
ECW reunion.
Probably has a podcast.
Oh, sure.
He's an entertaining guy. It's just like every time you hear something about him outside of wrestling, it's always cringe, like every single time. And it's not like he's not jerking off in front of people. You know what I mean? Like it's not scandalous.
Yeah,
he's just a loser.
Yeah.
It sucks because he was a big part of ECW that I really liked.
Imagine that Reddit post was by him.
He lost his stud muffin mojo.
Should have had the neck brace on.
Yeah. Works every time.
All right. Well, before we go, I want to mention the top livecast fans of the week. How do you become a top livecast fan? You just hit up our Patreon. And also, before I get into that, I do want to mention, please give us a follow on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We post every day. And we're also on YouTube. Follow us on YouTube. We post clips on YouTube, video clips, free clips. And also, please join our Discord chat. Every day we're in there. Sid's in there the most, but all three of us are in there. You can hang out with us. You can hang out with other live cast stars, and it'll be a really fun time. All right, so our top live cast fans of the week on our Patreon, they're basically at the $10 tier. You get everything I mentioned for the $5 tier, the bonus episodes, the video version, plus this shout-out at the end of the show. How are we doing these shout-outs, fellas?
Sharon Osbourne.
All right.
Sharon Osbourne with she just came from the Botox office and came from
no.
out very much.
I want to give a big shout out to Eric and Benjamin El Judorino, Dan R, Sam I M, Mindy Mays Kipper, Gender, Robert, can you shake it, eh, Justin? Sister, sister, sets. Vampiro. You go like tacos. Lando Tanks. LaCroix. Corey and Scotty H. Dog Pigman. Who gave up a hickey? Scooby-Doo 182. Douglas, who are you, Levison? Hi, guys. It's Josh. Who are you? Thank you to all of our patrons. We love you, and we kiss you, and we love you, and we'll see you next week. You NFT bugger!
Way too much mouth movement for Sharon.
Way too much and you bugger.
I know you had to suspend reality there a little bit because we need to the names to be enunciated.
Yeah.
But good job.
Thank you. All right, we're out of here. We'll see you next week. Thank you, as always, for tuning in.
Happy New Year.
Bye. Happy my birthday.
Recording stopped.
All right, that was great.
Whew.
That was a lot of laughing.
Yeah. So we got something from the NFT thing.
Anything in particular?
Maybe not like us ragging on Sharon. Like, it's funny, but I don't know.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Maybe misinterpreted out of context.
Something more focused on the actual NFT part.
Oh, that was like 90% of it. But
yeah.
I'll try to find something.
There has to be something in that wrestling story.
Yes, for sure.
Okay. The Reddit thing.
Oh, your Chris Noth story.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
That, yeah.
Okay, sure.
That's so good because that's like fucking ripped from the headlines.
And not Joel Gertner?
Nah, that's old news. Chris Noth is more topical.
Yeah,
you got it. So I had a question. Do you have anything to go for tomorrow? Because it's like 50-50 whether I'm going to be able to do this tonight.
We'll figure something out.
And if I do get to do it, I'll do it.
No worries. We'll figure something else out. Picture, poll, something.
But if not,
we can make a poll like what would be a live cast NFT.
Okay, I have a tournament tonight, but like it may end in time for me to do it, so it won't be a problem. But if not, I'll do it tomorrow.
No worries.
Afternoon. Bye.
Oh, Rob, the false start at the beginning. Are you going to cut that out or leave that?
Yeah. No, I'm going to cut.
Oh, I realized as I was saying the name of that band that it has homo in it. That wasn't like offensive, right? I didn't mean
the name of the band.
Yeah. I know, but just I could have censored it, I guess. But I didn't think to do that.
It's fine.